going back to the same passage we were in last Sunday morning, so 1 Samuel 16, and we're going to read the same two verses that we read last Sunday and then an additional three others in this passage. So in 1 Samuel 16, and announced last Sunday that the Lord laid on my heart, my mind, to preach some messages on Sunday along the lines of our heart. And so we talked about the exposed heart last week. And we'll get another message on the heart this morning. Let's stand together, please. 1 Samuel 16, and we're going to read verses 6 and 7. Would you please join me on verse 7? This is the same passage we read last Sunday. And it came to pass, the Bible says in verse 6, when they were come, that he, that Samuel, looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Now I want you to drop down to verse 11. We're going to read verses 11 through 13. Would you please join me on verse 12? And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the privilege to read your Bible this morning. Would you please come in great power in the person of your Spirit today and with an open heart, God, we come and say, Lord, now with our hearts open, open our eyes, teach us, show us things, impress upon us. May you work on us, Lord. May this be construction time in my life, in the lives of all these wonderful people here today. God, please. And you know the need. Father, you know the need in each life here. No life is hidden from you. No heart is hidden from you. So, God, take your word. Use it, God, in our hearts today. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seen.
Praise for God and God.
time. Thank you. I appreciate that. And good for our hearts this morning. I want to speak to you today on the subject of the obedient heart. We looked last week at the exposed heart. So today, on the subject of the obedient heart. Let me encourage you to keep your Bible open. I don't have a lot of points. In fact, I don't think I looked through here. I don't have any 1, 2, 3 this morning. But I have scriptures that I want you to be looking at as we go through the Bible a little bit back and forth. So I encourage you to keep your Bible out and listen carefully on this subject of the obedient heart. Dear Father, would you please help me today? I want to be your mouthpiece. And Lord, you don't have much to work with in my person, but God, you are a powerful and wonderful God. So I give myself completely to you, and I pray that you'll take me like a carpenter would take a tool out of his pouch on the job and just do a work with it. That's all I ask this morning. May I be the conduit through which you speak to hearts all over this room. And God, may we all be drawn into this truth today, and may we be instructed and learned, challenged, I pray, in Jesus' name. And amen. Sitting in a dentist or a doctor's office or the eye doctor or some one of those years ago, there was a magazine, like you know how they are at those offices, and on the front cover was a picture of the physical heart of a person, a picture of a heart, and then something about heart attack underneath there caught my attention, and I began to read the article. I found the page it was on, and I was interested in what the author had to say about heart attacks and so forth and so on. It is obvious that the muscle that is in our chest that causes the blood to circulate through our body is vitally important to our physical well-being. And when you and I think that there might be something wrong with our heart, we usually don't procrastinate in getting it taken care of or getting it looked at. Now, there's a reason why they call it a vital organ, right? A vital organ. That's my heart and your heart. I'm talking about that physical muscle that pumps the blood through our bodies. Now, just as the heart is a vital organ physically, so the heart of man, I'm talking about the heart of mankind, the heart of every person, is the vital part of our spiritual well-being. Again, we're not talking about a physical muscle here. We're talking about that core person. We're talking about the seat, the place where we think, where we feel, where we make decisions. It is referred to in the Scripture as the heart. And it is a vital place. It's so vital to our spiritual well-being. So vital that it is important to give some attention to the subject of our heart. Now, we use the same text today that we used last week. Remember, Saul has been rejected from being king. And God told Samuel, go down to Bethlehem to the house of Jesse. I got me somebody prepared down there to become the next king. And so Samuel goes to Bethlehem. He finds the house of Jesse. And says, Jesse, bring your boys. And so here comes Eliab. He's the oldest. He's the firstborn. And no doubt of a great physical stature. And boy, when Samuel saw him come, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. What he was saying was, this is the blue chip prospect right here. Can't miss with this guy. And God said, Samuel, look. He said, I've seen some things that you cannot see. And, you know, you look on the outward appearance, and I look on the heart, but I have rejected him. I have refused Eliab. And so he was refused. Now, I said a couple of things last week. Number one, what God sees carries more weight than what man sees. We see the physical. God sees both. He sees the physical. He sees the outside. He sees the inside. And it's the inside that carries more weight than the outside. I don't think we ought to neglect the outside. I think you and I ought to be a testimony with our outward appearance. But friend, you can't get that in line and neglect the more important part. That's what the Pharisees did in the New Testament. Jesus said, you know, you got all the tithing down, the anise and the mint and the cumin, the myrrh and the cumin, but you've neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy. Those are the things that make up the inner person. And so what God sees carries more weight than what man sees. We also said last week that what God sees determines what He does with us. What God could see in Eliab's heart made Him refuse Eliab as far as being king is concerned. And so what God sees in our heart sometimes keeps us from blessings. My goodness, I don't want that. Okay? Now, the story does not stop with God's refusal of Eliab. Samuel has the second boy pass. God says, no, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. And is it seven? I think it's seven or eight sons of Jesse. And so finally Jesse says, well, that's it, Samuel. And Samuel says, that's all the boys? And Jesse goes, well, I mean, the young kid. The young kid's out watching the sheep. Young boy out there. And Samuel said, go get him. And so they went and got David. And they brought David. And as soon as David approached, the Bible says a beautiful countenance, a goodly to look to. So he had the outside of David was looking pretty good too. But then God said to Samuel, arise, anoint him, for this is he. So whatever God saw in Eliab's heart must have been absent from David's heart. Because whatever made God refuse Eliab, if it had been found in David's heart, God would have refused David. And so here, but he said, David is the one. So Eliab was refused. David was chosen. Now, I don't know about you, friend, but I sure don't want to be an Eliab. I've got to be a David. Now, I can't polish the shoes. I can't shine his shoes. I can't buckle the straps on his sandals, okay? I can't touch the hem of David's garment as a man. But I want to be a David as far as being accepted. I want to know what this means because I need God's blessing. I need God's help. I want God to use me. I need God to direct my life. I need God's hand. I need God to lead me. I need God's touch. I need His blessing. I don't need to be refused. I don't want to be refused. No. I still have a child at home. And now I got little grandkids looking up at Pawpaw and talking about Pawpaw and liking and enjoying being with Pawpaw. I'm still married. I'm still pastor of a church with a bunch of wonderful people. I don't want God to refuse me. I need Him to help me. I need His blessing. I need to find out about what's going on with David here. What was it about David's heart? What can I learn? What can you learn? What can we learn about David's heart here that made God accept him and say, this is he. Arise and anoint him. I don't see in his heart what I saw in Eliab's. Well, let's look at that this morning. Back up a few pages to chapter 13. Chapter 13 and verse number 13. And we're backing up a few pages. Saul has disobeyed the Lord. And God is going to tell Saul that he is rejected. Chapter 13, just a couple of pages in your Bible. Now here's what Samuel says to Saul in verse 13. Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. The Bible says that God sought him a man after his own heart. Now, we know who followed Saul. David followed Saul. So David was the one that God is talking about here in this verse. God is talking through Samuel. God has sought him a man after his own heart. So what do we learn here? We learn that God has a heart. God has a heart. Now, wait a minute. God is a spirit. But remember, the heart is not physical. When we're talking about this right here, we're not talking about a physical muscle that circulates the blood through the body. God is a spirit. And the Bible says that God has a heart. He has a heart. He has thoughts. He has feelings. And God makes choices. And that is what the heart is made up of. Our heart is made up of our thoughts, our feelings, and our choices, our mind, our emotions, and our will. So David's, watch it now, David's mind, his thoughts, his emotions, his feelings, his will, his choices were after God's mind, emotions, and God's will. They were after God's. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean, they were after God's? Well, I think we can learn here by what's written in the Scripture. Look again at verse number, what God says about Saul and what God said about David. Look again at verse number 14, okay? Excuse me, verse number 13. Look at why Saul was rejected. Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. Look down at verse number 14, the very end of the verse. Because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Now watch it. Saul, you have chosen to disobey me. Saul, you thought about what I wanted. You thought about my will. You thought about it and you felt differently about it, and so you chose differently. You did the opposite, God was saying, of what I wanted. Hey, he said, Saul, if you had chosen to obey me, your kingdom would have been established forever. But you chose to disobey me. So I have sought me a man after mine own heart. I sought me a man after mine own heart. Now, hold your finger there in 1 Samuel, because we're going to come back there a little bit. Go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Now we're going to the New Testament. Let's see what the Bible says further about this man, David. Now remember that. God said, Saul, I have rejected you because you have refused to obey me. You've not kept that which I commanded thee. You've not done according to my will. You've done your own will. So in Acts chapter 13, verse number 22, Paul is preaching a message here, and Paul says in verse number 22, he's talking about David. And when he had removed him, talking about Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Now, this is how you learn the Bible, folks. Compare passage to passage. Do we understand now what it means when God says he sought for a man after his own heart? What he's saying was this: Saul's heart, his thoughts, his feelings, and his choices were not in submission to mine. He was not obedient to me. And Saul, because you were not obedient to me, not only have I refused you from being king further, but I have sought me a man after my own heart, which will fulfill all my will. So where Saul was a man who refused to obey God, David was a man who decided to obey God. That's what it means to have a heart after God's own heart. It's not some kind of spooky feeling. It's not rubbing things together and, oh, I feel so warm and fuzzy all over. I've got a heart like God's. No, you don't. You've got a warm and fuzzy feeling. Has nothing to do with a heart after God. Having a heart after God has everything to do with having an obedient heart. Watch, God said, I have chosen David because David will obey me. He will know my will, he will think about it, and he will choose to obey me. He'll choose to follow me, not himself. What I'm talking about this morning is an obedient heart. Now, folks, can we stop here and be reminded of something? David's heart was just as sinful as Saul's. Right? He did not have an advantage over Saul. His heart was sinful. Now, remember, we're talking about the core of our person, the thinking, the feelings, the decisions, the choices. Do you understand that the very core of my person and the very core of your person is tainted by sin? Our thoughts are sinful. Our feelings are deceiving and sinful. And our choices, many times, are choices of disobedience. And as far as a sinful heart goes, David had just as sinful a heart as Saul had. He had just as sinful a heart as Eliab had. Saul, David, Eliab, all of them had tainted, fallen, sinful natures. They had, in fact, David knew this himself because he said, in sin did my mother conceive me. He said, as soon as I was conceived in the womb of my mother, my person was tainted by sin. I was tainted by sin. My thoughts were tainted. My feelings were tainted. My decisions-making apparatus was tainted by sin. By the way, folks, that's true about everybody in this room. That's why we need a Savior. That's why Jesus came down on the cross, so that we could be forgiven from our sin nature. See, I've never met anybody who told me I'm not a sinner, but I have met people who tell me I'm not that bad a sinner. It has nothing to do with how good a sinner or how bad a sinner anybody is. It has everything to do with what you and I are in our person. And we're fallen. We're sinful. And so David doesn't have a leg up on anybody. David has no advantage over Saul. He has no advantage over Eliab. They all possessed sinful hearts. Yes, his heart was fallen and sinful. But the difference in Saul and David is that David made the choice in his heart to obey God. Notice again what God said about David at the end of verse 22. David shall fulfill all my will. My will. God says David will do what I want. He will choose to obey my will. He will live in submission to my will. That's why God said David's will, David's heart is after mine own heart. David's will was after God's will. David's will followed God's will. Hey, you know what an obedient heart is, friend? An obedient heart is an obedient will. It's exactly what it is. It's an obedient will. Having an obedient heart is having an obedient will. An obedient heart is choosing to obey God's will. Choosing to do God's will. Choosing to submit my will to God's will. Choosing to say no to what I want and saying yes to what He... That's an obedient heart. You see, it has nothing to do with a warm and fuzzy feeling. It has everything to do with Bible principle. Now again, I want to remind us this morning that God sees what man cannot see. Remember that. Both God and man can see you and me saying with our words, I want to obey God. Both God and man can hear us say, I want to do God's will. But people, it is so easy. Doing it is a different matter. I want you to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 5 this morning. I want you to see what God sees. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, and let's bring you up to speed to what's happening in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5, Moses is speaking to the children of Israel. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. He is recalling an event that took place 40 years previous. He is talking to them about the time that he went up on Mount Sinai and received the Ten Commandments. Remember that? God gave him two tablets of stone, had written on them the Ten Commandments, the thing written with the finger of God. And Moses is recalling what happened 40 years previous in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Look, verse number 27. This is what they told Moses 40 years earlier when God was speaking to him on Mount Sinai. The children of Israel said to Moses in verse 27, Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee. Now watch this. And we will hear it. And what? What are they saying? We'll obey God. Moses, you go to God. You find out what God wants us to do. You bring that down to us. You tell us what it is God wants us to do. And Moses, we'll do it. Isn't that what they said? Okay. Verse 28. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when ye spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Now, if you read that verse carefully with me just now, you saw a repetition of a phrase in there. Do you see it? The Lord heard the voice of your words. The Lord said, I have heard the voice of the words of this people. And what they have said, they have well said. You know what God is saying to them? Moses said, God heard what you were saying. And you said it well. What better way to say it? Go find out what God wants us to do, and we'll do it. And God said, boy, that sounds nice. In fact, you've well said those things. I heard the words of your voice. But look at verse number 29, what God said back to them. He said, oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Do you see what God said? God said, I hear what you're saying, but oh, and you've said it very well. You've said it very nicely. I give you an A+ on how you said it. But oh, that there were such a heart in them. Oh, that it was sincere. Oh, that they meant it with all of their heart. Oh, that it was more than just words. Oh, that it was deep down in their heart. Oh, that their heart would be obedient, that they really meant that they had decided to obey me. And by the way, friend, I want you to look at the results of what God said in verse number 29. He said, when you find somebody like that, when you find somebody who not only says it with their mouth, but they back it up with an obedient heart, look what it says, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. You see, the obedient heart is more than just learning how to say or speak the talk. It's walking the walk. That's an obedient heart. Folks, we have learned to talk so right. You know, I'm not getting on these kids. I'm using this as a proof case, as a test case, okay? You know, I just had the meeting with our seven seniors in our high school. They're graduating this year. Six of them from our church, Brother Howard's boys, Brother Stephen Howard. And a good bunch of kids. Do you know, without fail, all seven of them, in a separate meeting, by themselves, with me in the conference room, all seven of them said to me, you know, we visit a little bit, you know, just have a little fun. And then we say, okay, what's ahead? About to graduate. Last few months of school, then what? I want to do God's will. Now, wait a minute. Who wouldn't say that? I'm not getting on them, but I mean, I don't think I've ever had anybody come in and say, Pastor, I'm here to tell you, I don't want to do God's will. I don't know what I would say. Well, this meeting's over, I guess. I don't know. You know, I've never had anybody sit down across the table and say, I don't want to obey God. I don't want to do that. No, everybody who sits across the table, and I would suppose that for all of these years, every senior appointment I've ever had, every senior has looked across the table at me and said, Pastor, I want to do the Lord's will. Okay. We've learned how to say it. But having an obedient heart is not just saying it. Having an obedient heart is doing it. That's where the rubber meets the road, folks. This obedient heart is not this obedient. Oh, I just feel like being so obedient to God. There's no feeling of obedience. Obedient heart is doing it. Obedient heart is obeying. Oh, God said, oh, that there was such an heart in them. Oh, when you and I use that expression of speech. Oh, huh? You see, you think that really is what God is referring to? You really think that's what God means when He says, oh, that there was such an heart in Him? Will you listen for a moment? Listen to Psalm 81 and verse number 13. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me and Israel had walked in my ways. Isaiah 48:18, oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river. Matthew 23:37, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Yes, I think that's what God means. Oh, obedience is the key to God's blessing. An obedient heart. And the obedient heart is more than just talking the talk. An obedient heart is walking the walk. That's what it is. Oh, God said, I've heard the voice of your words. And don't you know, I mean, all you know what? When I sit across the table from those kids, those seven kids, I don't sit there and think to myself, they're lying. I think, you know what? I believe they do want to do God's will. But God said to these people, I hear what you're saying. Go up to the mount and find out what God wants from us, and whatever He tells you to tell us, we will do it. I hear what you're saying. Got it all down. Sounds real good. Now, if you just really had that kind of heart in you, we might could get somewhere. Oh, what God wants is an obedient heart. That's what God's looking for, and that's what only God in the beginning can see. Friend, let's ask ourselves this morning, do we have a heart to obey God? Not just words, but a will to want to, a desire, a burden, a commitment to obey God. When God looks down at my heart and your heart, what does He see? Because He sees what no man can see, and we can all say the right things to the ears of men, but what does God see? Does God see a heart that will really want to do the will of God for our lives? That's what God sees. It's called an obedient heart. Look at Matthew chapter 21. Let's go back to the New Testament. I know I don't have any points for you this morning. It's just a thought here. Look at Matthew chapter 21 here in the Scriptures. And look at a little story that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 21. He told a little parable beginning in verse number 28. A little parable here from the lips of Jesus Christ. He said, but what think ye? You see that verse number 21, verse number 28. He said, but what think ye? A certain man, by the way, every time you read that, that's a parable. That's how we know that Luke 16 is not a parable. Luke 16 gives proper names. Luke 16 gives the name of Lazarus. Luke 16 gives the name of Abraham and the name of Moses and the prophets. The story of the rich man in hell is not a parable. That was a real happening. This is a parable. Look at what he said. A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He, the boy, answered and said, I will not. I won't do it. Nope. I'm not going to do it. But afterward, he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered, that means he said to the second boy, Son, go work today in my vineyard. And the second boy said, I go, sir. Boy, that first boy didn't even say, sir. But he went. The second boy, he throws the word, sir, in there. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Look what Jesus asked in verse 31. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? Whether of them twain? He said to the one boy, go work my vineyard. Won't do it. And he got to thinking about it and he said, my goodness, that's what my dad told me to do. You know, I didn't really want to do it. In fact, I answered him kind of harshly. I was really rude to my dad. Didn't treat him with much respect. You know what? I was wrong. I think I'll go work in the vineyard. Second boy says, yes, sir. I go, sir. And he went not. You tell me, Jesus said, which one of them did the will of his father? You see, folks, an obedient heart is more than just learning how to say the words. An obedient heart is learning to walk the walk. It's learning to do it. That's what an obedient heart is. It is not just knowing how to talk the talk. It is knowing how to walk the walk. Okay? So, Brother Angel, how? How do I have a heart like David? How do I have an obedient heart? Well, let's start with tomorrow morning, shall we? Let's start with Monday morning. Now, this may not be for every single person in this room, because there might be third shift workers and might be people whose shift is a little different. But for most people with the work schedule, like you got a day job, you go to school, you're a homemaker, you're a second shift worker, Monday morning you get up. Let's see, there's the newspaper. There's the TV. There's the internet. And you want to start your day with one of those. Don't tell me you don't, because I do. And I have been staying up on Friday and Saturday night to the very last minute watching these ball games. But I am interested. I am 0 for the Final Four. I have none of my picks in the Final Four. First time ever. All of them are out. get up in the morning, I'd like to know. So there's the newspaper, there's the TV, there's the radio, there's the internet. And what I want is to see what it says. Let me ask you a question. What do you think God wants? You think God wants us to start our day with Him? You think the sports scores can wait half an hour? You think ESPN can hold off for 20 minutes? You reckon God wants to follow Mike and Mike in the morning? Or some Fox News commentator? You think God's okay with being second and third place after the Chicago Tribune and everything else? What do you think God wants? So if I have an obedient heart, okay, what I would like to do is I'd like to hear that commentator. I'd like to read that article in that newspaper. I'd like to know what that ballgame score was. But you know what? God wants me to start my day with Him. So an obedient heart says, God, I'm going to put You first. I'm going to get my Bible. And if it's like I told a young man this week, if you start out by reading one chapter, and don't let the devil deceive you into thinking that that's not enough. When you ain't been doing nothing, one's real good. Devil makes you think that if you can't jump in and read 20 chapters a day, you might as well not get started. Tell him he's a liar, because that's what he is. And get your Bible out and find you a book in the Bible and begin to and just read one chapter and get you five things to pray about. And this is, you say, I'd love to have an obedient heart, so I need to. This is how you do it. It's not rocket science. Finding out what God wants and doing it. How do I do this? So when you do go to the internet to check your email, your homepage has all kind of articles and links and news briefs. And here's two or three about some Hollywood star, some goofball, some harlot woman. Oh, I'd like to read that, look at that, see what that's all about. Right? What does God want? I think my Bible says He'd prefer us to be simple concerning that which is evil and know that which is good. So probably just from the headline and the little picture associated with it, I probably know the direction that that article is going. And although my flesh may say, man, I'd like to know, the Spirit of God says, no, that's not necessary. And so an obedient heart says, we own that. Check the email, see if we got anything that I need to know, and move on. How do you have an obedient heart? Well, the phone rings. And the voice on the other end of the phone begins to speak, and how's your day? And good to talk. Hey, by the way, did you know what has happened? Did you hear what so-and-so did? Did you hear what so-and-so said? Now, what does my heart want to do? What does God want? What does God want? No, I didn't hear, and to be honest with you, I got about six things lined up that I've got to get to. I'm already late in getting to the start of my day. I really don't have time to talk about that now, but I hope you have a good day. God bless you. This thing of an obedient heart, folks, it's not some big, long equation that takes 4 hours to work through it. It's just as I walk through my life, I try to walk in obedience to what He wants. An obedient heart, when the teacher asks, how many of you have read the assignment? And all the hands start going up. And I didn't read it, but I don't want to be the one without my hand up. So, an obedient heart says, you know what? I'm not going to lie about this, because God said, thou shalt not bear false witness. I'm going to keep my hand in my lap. And if it means I get some punishment, at least I'll be honest with God. That's an obedient heart. Now, folks, you run with this. You run with this through your day. And then don't start with Monday. Run through this with your Tuesday. And run through this with your Wednesday. And run through this with your week. and run through it and run through it. And you know what an obedient heart is? An obedient heart, you don't come together on Saturday night or wake up on Sunday morning at 8 and say, well, should we go to church today? An obedient heart makes plans to go to church because that's what God wants. This is not a spooky thing. It's not some Casper the Friendly Ghost floating on a cloud, strumming a harp, feeling that I'm looking for. Oh, I just feel so in love with God and so obedient. No, it's when I take a step, I try to take it in obedience to God's will. Take another step in obedience to God's will. I walk through my Monday. I walk through my Tuesday. I walk through my Wednesday. I walk through my Thursday. I walk through my Friday. I walk through my Saturday. I walk through my Sunday. Doing what God wants. You say, Pastor, this sounds like it kind of gets into my life. Kind of, it starts affecting my morning, my afternoon, my evening. Oh, that there was such an heart in them. Oh, that my people would keep my commandments. Oh, that you had walked in my ways. Oh, that there were such an heart in them. What kind of a heart? An obedient heart. A heart that says, you know what? I'm not just going to talk the talk. With God's help, I'm going to walk the walk. And that's why God rejected Saul and chose David. His thoughts, his feelings, and even his choices were after God's. So if you've been looking for a heart after God's own heart to be some kind of, forget all that. And just decide to do your best to obey God. That's an obedient heart. That's a heart after God's heart. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's ask this question, a couple of questions today before we close the service down. Have an invitation. It's easy to talk the talk. God says, I hear the voice of your words. I wonder how many times God has said, Terry, I hear the voice of your words. Terry, I hear the voice of your words. And you've well said that which you've spoken. But oh, if you really had. Oh, if you truly had. A heart to obey. Wonder who's here this morning would say, Pastor, the Spirit of God came by the pew where I was sitting this morning. I don't want to just talk the talk. I want to walk the walk. And in many ways, I need to shore up my walk and be obedient to God and have that kind of heart. More than just words. Walk in obedience to God. The Lord spoke to me this morning. Pray for me. Would you lift a hand, please, all over the room today? God bless you. God bless you. I appreciate it. Amen. You may take your hands down. Yes, it's so easy. It's so easy to say it. It's something together, altogether different to do it. That's why the book of James says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. That's why Jesus told that little parable. He said, you know, a foolish man heard my sayings, but he never did anything with them. And when the storm came, blew his house to shambles. But the wise man not only heard my sayings, he did them. And when the storm came, his house stood. This principle is found all through the Bible. It's more than just talking the talk. It's walking the walk. An obedient heart walks the walk. Pastor, I should have raised my hand just a moment ago. I hesitated. I resisted. The Spirit of God spoke to me. I should have raised my hand for prayer. Pray for me. Anybody else this morning? I see those hands. God bless you. Father, bless, I pray, these that lifted a hand this morning. Help us to walk the walk. Dear God, please, I don't want to just say words. I don't want to sit across the table from somebody, lie in bed with my wife, say things to my children like I want to do God's will and then not do it. Oh, that there was such a heart in me. Bless our folks this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Now here's a very, very vital, important question. How many of you have obeyed the Lord in the matter of salvation? You've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know that you're born into God's family. You know where you're headed when you die. Heaven is your home. And you know that because one day you said yes to Jesus. You could let you raise your hand this morning as a testimony that you're saved. Would you do that for me? God bless you. You may take your hands down. Now, I wonder if there's one here today who would say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm going to heaven. I don't know that I've ever been saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you today. I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven. Across the front, to the back, side to side, anybody upstairs or down. I don't know that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. If you're not sure that you're saved, please, please, when we give the music and the invitation in just a minute, go right to the person, one of these men or one of this, or Emily over here, and just say, I need to be saved. I need to be saved. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Is there somebody here this morning say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand this morning? Anybody like that? I've not been obedient to Christ since I've been saved. God bless you. If you came this morning prepared to be obedient to Christ in baptism, now's the time to come. Or if you want to talk to one of these men about it during invitation time, you come. Step out while no one is looking. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed and obey the Lord. Father, I pray that you'll please bless these folks. I pray for one or two, Lord, that may not be saved this morning. I saw a hand. I don't know if they understood the question or not. If they're not saved, God, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would draw them to Christ today. Bless the one who needs to be baptized or more. Father, be with them. I pray it in Jesus' name. Now, if you've been saved and baptized, you know that this is the church God wants you to be a part of, and you've talked to us about it, now's a good time to join or to make an appointment about that. But let the Spirit of God work in our hearts today. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, give us a song of invitation. Now's the time to come. Now's the time to come. And be baptized. Kneel here for a moment and pray. Ask the Lord to give us an obedient heart. So easy to walk the walk, talk the talk. It's just such a different matter to walk the walk. Yes, it is. Would you come? If you need to come from the balcony, you come. We have time for you this morning. We won't rush this morning of the service. You come. An obedient heart. Oh, God, please. Would you come today, please? We're not here to take account, friend. We're not here to make some statement in a magazine or periodical. This altar is to help you. This altar is a place to say, God, I need what was preached today. I need it. Help me.